Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7-3 to Fan. We're going to go down to Peoria, Arizona, and I'm sure she's got her tennis shoes on, hustling around down there today. Annie Heilbrun, nice enough to join us from the San Diego Union Tribune. Annie, thanks so much for the time. I know you're awful busy. What's it been like for you today? And if you kind of take us through your day covering this story.
Guys, what a day. I mean, this is actually the first minute of the day that I've stopped since this news happened. So I thank you for pulling me out of it. But I got to tell you, it was a very calm morning, first full squad practice. So just a calm morning. And there was just a few people outside. We were waiting for Andy Green's press conference. So it was around 10 a.m. and people just started talking. Hey, did you see the tweet? Did you see the tweet? Machado to the Padres. And everybody just kind of went crazy. And when Andy Green and then Ron Fowler and Peter Seiler came outside, we fully expected maybe ownership to confirm the report. And then as you guys heard, they have said that it's not, decided completely yet, that it's not formalized, but that they're still in discussion. So it's been a roller coaster of a day. I think that players are going forward as if, he's on his way maybe to become part of the team. They're definitely excited, but it's just been a wild day here, that's for sure.
Annie, have you been able to talk to any of the players about it, and what's been kind of their reaction to the news that broke this morning?
Yeah, so they were out on the field practicing when the news broke, so they didn't know about it. So the PR people were trying to grab them as they came off the field to just say, hey, you're going to be asked about this, just to kind of give them a heads up that that's the news that broke. And you could see, we would be watching from a distance, and you would see the player's face just completely turn into shock and then excitement and then fist pumping. But the best one was Austin Hedges. I actually grabbed him for an interview, and I said, Austin, are you, would you be willing to talk about the Machado reports that he's coming to the Padres? And he dropped his catcher bag, his eyes got wide, he started kind of, leaping around, screaming, yes, yes. And then one of the coaches said, Austin, you still need a bunt. And he ran over to his bag, he grabbed it, and he's like, I'm just so excited to bunt, I'm so excited. But I mean, they're just thrilled. Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, they just talked about how this will not only help protection in the lineup, it will help all the other players be better around him, but that they're also just glad that ownership is all in and that they're trying to field a winning team. So, Coach, I heard you talking about, more pitching, right, and better pitching staff.
Right.
And so I think that would probably be another piece to the puzzle. But right now it's definitely a lot of excitement here, a lot of smiles.
Annie Heilbrun joining us from the Peoria Sports Complex. Reportedly, Manny Machado going to sign with the San Diego Padres, 10 years, $300 million. Annie, as far as talking with the players, you get any kind of sense of when this may be announced?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, it sounds like it's still a few days away. I'm not sure, maybe announced tomorrow or the next day. I don't think that from what I've heard, and I haven't heard everything, it sounds like there's a few things that need to be checked off. There's a few boxes that they need to check that maybe will take maybe tomorrow or the next day. So I think people might need to be patient at least for a few days with this one. I don't know that it's going to necessarily break tomorrow, although I could be wrong. But it sounds like ownership still wants to get a few, a few boxes checked. And so does Machado's camp, for that matter. So I think that it's still a few days away, but who knows? Sometimes these things, I mean, especially with all the information that's out there right now about this, who knows if this just moves faster than they expected. It sounds like they were prepared for it to move in the next few days. And, now that everything's out there like this, I mean, things just could move a lot quicker than we expect. But I think people are definitely on edge waiting for it. And the buzz around here, I mean, it's just unreal the way that it's changed from this morning to this afternoon. Just the buzz in camp, and you got more media coming. And, I mean, it's really just like night and day between the beginning of camp and the afternoon. And it's cool, too. It's really cool to see the players so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really, really excited, and it's genuine excitement. And it's really cool to see those initial reactions like that.
Annie, do we know, has anybody been able to confirm whether or not Dan Lozano or Manny Machado or both of them are in Arizona right now?
No, I think that's one of the questions that's being asked. They very well could be, but laying low, or they very well could be doing a physical or some of those other tests. You know, they could be in San Diego for all we know, doing them at the team hospital. They could be doing other, you know, they could still be in Florida. I mean, there's so many unknowns right now. Ownership sounded like that, you know, when I asked them, hey, are you guys staying another day? They said they were leaving today. Now, again, you know, they can be very cagey about this stuff, as you guys know.
Yeah.
It could be that they plan to leave today and now they're going to stay another day or a day after that. But I think that they are, like I said, you know, dotting all their I's and crossing their T's on this and everything because it's such a big amount of money. And there's so much at stake between both camps. But it does sound like, you know, if you watch the videos and I talked to both Peter Seidler and Ron Fowler today, there's a grin on their face. You know what I mean? I really feel like they would be shooting this down completely if it weren't true. So, I mean, I'm certainly not going to stand here and say it's 100% going to happen. But I do think we would have heard a more decisive, this is dead, this is not happening, we're not doing this kind of thing if it really wasn't happening. So I really think it's semantics right now. It's like getting some formalities out of the way. And then it's doing it on their terms. It's doing it on the terms of the team and how they want to roll this out.
Yeah, I agree, Annie. If this wasn't true, Ron Fowler would have poured cold water on this immediately. It wouldn't even have got the life that it got. Let me ask you about the Padres that are actually on the roster right now. How have the workouts been going over the last few days?
Guys, it's been going really well. You know, Tony, what I've really enjoyed about this group right now is the guys that came in last year, that it was their first big league camp, like the Joey Lucchesis, like the Eric Lauers and whatnot, you know, Franmil Reyes. This year, you can just tell. I mean, they're just carrying themselves different. They've got a different, you know, confidence to them. And it's not to say that they didn't have it before, but they just feel more comfortable. And I just imagine that in this second year, they're going to be able to actually refine some of the things that they weren't able to do last year just because they were learning so much so fast. They just didn't have a chance. So, I mean, you can really tell that it slowed down for them a little bit. And they're a lot more at ease and kind of in their bodies. So I think that it's been fun to watch those guys. And then with these other guys coming in, with the Chris Paddocks, I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to talk to him, but he is a trip. I mean, just such an interesting story, you know, and Logan Allen and Ty France and all those other guys. And then, you know, when you talk to a guy, like I talked to Craig Stammen today, you know, he said as an older player with this Machado news, it just really makes me excited because we forget with all these young guys that there are, you know, some older guys still on this roster that are holding it down. And it's cool to see them, you know, kind of seeing this maybe take a turn for pushing for more of a winning season and whatnot. So camp's been going well. A lot of good, you know, positive things happening down here as you would expect in spring training. But just the clubhouse is jiving really well. I mean, it's a really laid back, fun clubhouse right now.
Oh, that's great. Well, it sounds like it's a beautiful, windy day in Peoria.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I had to go outside for a second, so sorry about that, but hopefully you guys were able to get
That's
it.
All right. We've been down there. We know what it's like, and you got to take care of business. Annie, thanks so much for the time, and keep us posted.
Absolutely, you guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go out on the newsmaker line right now, and we're joined by our buddy, Randy Jones. Randy, it was great being with you and your family on Sunday, and I'm glad everything went well for the Randy Jones Foundation.
Yeah, it was a great evening, a great weekend of golf with a lot of great guys, and appreciate your help, Coach. It was very nicely done.
Randy, tell us your thoughts, man. The news comes out this morning. Manny Machado reportedly 10 years, $300 million. Give as a guy who's been a part of this organization for a very, very long time. Tell us what is going through your mind at this point.
Well, you know, Devon, is just really, really excited about the opportunity it gives this franchise, this organization. That we've seen this ownership come in and their desire to win and what they've put together and their commitment. And this continues to solidify the commitment that I really believe that they have. They want to create a winner here. They knew where our weakness was, and he had to be, I think Machado had to be number one on the radar, you know, with our needed third base on the left side of the infield. You know, it just made so much sense. But to pull a trigger, you know, and sign him for $300 million just gives you an idea that they're serious. They want to win. They want to win now. They've got all the components there. And the impact this probably has in spring training, Tony, you know as well as I do, the impact on the other players, I think that, you know, even some of those younger ones kind of realize, hey, maybe they're serious. They want to win now.
Yeah.
You're going to be down at spring training here pretty quick, too.
Yeah, this next week, I'll be joining the ranks of you guys. I'm sure you're going to be down there sooner or later, but I'm going to spend a couple of weeks in uniform and with the pitchers and get a better idea of the excitement. And, you know, there's got to be a lot of that, guys. It's going to be a good turning point. You know, I keep thinking about the lineup. It's a pretty good lineup, I think, Tony.
To say the least, I think offensively, this is going to be one of the better offensive teams in the National League. But I still think, as you would probably agree, there's still some question marks around the starting pitching.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a starting pitcher, like an old starting pitcher. I'm excited about the runs I'm making. You know? I mean, I'm sorry, man. I mean, you might make a mistake early in the game, get down two or three runs, and I'm not sure I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to go, well, it's over. I mean, I did that 35 years ago, but now I think we might have a chance of coming back.
Hey, Randy, I know you'll have a better idea once you get back from spring training, and I know last year you came back, and you were pretty encouraged by a lot of the young arms you saw down there throw bullpens and throw in some of the big league games.
I really was, and once again, I'm going to be just excited this year. Guys are a little bit older. You love these guys. Got now major league experience. There's no surprises. They know what to expect. I want to see how they go about their business. See if it's changed. See if the focus has changed. You know. I'm more looking at the mental aspect of it. These guys and how they go about their business. That's what I'm going to be, you know, observing and watching more than anything else. And you know. And I hope a couple of these guys really kind of get the notion that, hey, you know, the number one spot's wide open. Why not go for it? And I sure hope those guys bring that attitude with them in spring training.
RJ, you could speak to this a little bit. I think we've all been focusing on Manny Machado offensively and what he brings to the table. But when you think about what this Padres team could throw out defensively in the infield alone, with his Tatis Jr. is ready and you have Machado. We saw what Luis Urias can do at second base. Hosmer's been very good at first base. What does that do for a young pitching staff, knowing if I get a ground ball, this is an automatic out pretty much?
Exactly, and you definitely have to know that too. It's got to be always in your back of the mind when you're that solid, you know, especially on the left side. You talk about that, and I don't even the right side. Even Ian Kinsler's not going to hurt you. I don't
think. Right.
And Osmer's solid at first base, and you know, and overall, you know, of course, me, I thought, well, you know, and he'll save him 20-25 runs every year over there at third base, knocking balls down, and hey, you're just knocking a ball down, not letting it get to the outfield. That runner from second can't score. You know, what a difference that makes. And those are the little things that he's able to do over there. Just a solid glove. And you know, like you say, on both sides of the baseball. And he's going to be watched. I mean, all these fans, our fans are excited about this.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to be watching Machado. And I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised on both sides of the baseball when they watch this young man play the game.
Randy Jones joining us on 97.3 The Fan. Randy, you know, Mr. Fowler, Mr. Seidler, they're going to probably expect you to sell a little more barbecue this year.
Well, hey, all I have to do is just stay out of the way, and I probably will right now, gentlemen.
Hey, let me ask you this. What's going to be interesting, I think, is, you know, we kind of assumed that Urias was going to start the year at shortstop, and, you know, we really didn't know who was going to play third base. You know, Ty France's name had been thrown around, and that Ian Kinsler would probably start at second base. I wonder what this is going to do. When this becomes official, going to be kind of interesting to see what exactly happens. And Machado will go to short, and they'll move Urias back to his natural position at second, and maybe take Kinsler all the way over to third and let him play there until they decide to bring Tatis Jr. up.
And then those are all different options. And you know, what's some great options, though, that Andy Green has, I think, Coach, when you talk about that and the names you just mentioned, I don't see where you get hurt.
right.
in any of those scenarios, you know, on an interim basis like that. I think it's still the side of the lineup, you know, and it'd be kind of funny. I mean, it might get to a point if they're playing so well. I mean, you know, do you take your time bringing up, you know, Tatis up, you know, if there's not a signal of urgency at that point in time and they're playing really effectively, you know, that just might weigh heavily on what they do and what they decide to do on pulling the trigger with Tatis. If it's going to be really early in the season, or might wait a little bit more, give him some more minor league at bats.
You know what'll be interesting, I think, is I don't know if Kinsler can play shortstop, but you know, if he ends up going to a backup role, that's where Greg Garcia may come in, because Greg Garcia can play all the infield positions.
Well, exactly. You know, and even one thing, guys, we know it looks great on paper and stuff, and we all know what we got to do is keep everybody 100% healthy.
Right.
And there's going to be hiccups in the lineup here and there, guy getting some rest or going down maybe for only a couple of weeks. And so they're all needed. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to win this thing, yeah, they're all going to need to, you know, pull on that rope together and be able to step up when they're asked to.
Randy, what do you think the Padres do with the glutton of outfielders they have? I mean, they're rocking about six or seven guys, six of which could be big league outfielders. What do you think the Padres do there?
Well, yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, I think maybe you might try to, you know, move a couple of them if the right deal came along, but it probably have to be the right deal to do that. Yeah, I mean, you know one thing about this, Tony, it's just nature of the game. There's going to be quite a few guys disappointed, you
yeah.
know, when the team breaks and starts the season, and that just comes with having this much talent, and it is what it is. And some might have to pay a few more dues down to the minor leagues. You certainly don't want to, but you know, hey, they're going to take the best 25 guys, and if you're not in there, they decide, then you got a decision. But I think overall they might try to make a move, you know, maybe for another arm. I mean, if something came up and it fits, you know, the Padres well, I can see that going on. If not, then some tough decisions. You're going to have to put some guys, you know, where they're not going to be very happy at the start. But, hey, you know, play better. That's all I can tell you.
Hey, Randy, we'll let you get out of here on this one. And I know when you came up, it was a totally different era and where the franchise was at that point. And you had your struggles early in your career. But when did you start to really settle in and feel like you belonged on a major league mound? Because we're going to be looking at a lot of youngsters making their debut again this year.
Yeah, I think, Coach, I mean, the first thing that I knew, I could get big league hitters out in 73, my first year when I got up here. But it was all about execution and being consistent. And I wasn't nearly that consistent in the following year. And I had to mature a little bit more, get, you know, being more mentally tough and being able to duplicate and concentrate better. And I anticipate the same thing for a lot of these guys. And seeing them and that maturity and that competitiveness and those juices that, you know, will get fired up. And for a lot of these kids, you know, that's one thing they have to learn a little bit is, you know, not so much controlling it, but, you know, let them go. You know, let some of that competition come out. You know, wear it on your sleeve a couple of times, and I think you'll be a lot more successful.
Randy, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for coming on today, and we'll just wait for the official announcement coming from the Padres, whenever that's going to be in the next 24 to 48 hours, we hope.
Well, it's exciting stuff, guys. This is what we've been kind of waiting on. It might be the tip of the iceberg, and this might be that one player we signed that'll spark everybody else to get on the same page and make some things happen here in 2019.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like the tip of the iceberg. That means there may be more to come.
That's right, man.
Hey, have a great afternoon, buddy, and thanks again for Sunday. I'm glad we raised a lot of money for your foundation.
Thank you, my friend, and you guys have a great day, and let's stay excited about this opportunity we're getting, guys.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Our next guest is a guy that I spent lots and lots of time at his house growing up. Was a cornerstone piece for the Padres back when they traded Ozzie Smith for him. Gary Templeton joins the show. Big Gary, how you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
I'm doing fantastic. Tell me, you hear the news come out this morning, Manny Machado reportedly signing a 10-year or on his way to sign a 10-year, $300 million deal. What are your thoughts? Padres stepping up big time.
Well, you know, they are. They're stepping up big time. You know, like I was talking to somebody the other day, and I told him, I said, you know, the Padres needed infielders on that right side, you know, short and third base going into it. So if they can sign Machado, now they got a cornerstone for years to come, you know. And you got a first baseman now over there. You got a first and a third baseman, two cornerstone pieces for the team, and you got Myers. And so I think they headed in the right direction. I mean, yeah, I never would have thought that they would have stepped up that big, but, you know, they're showing something to the fans that, hey, they're willing to put a winner out there on that field.
Hey, Gary, great to have you on the program today. Always marveled at your talent, both in St. Louis and here in San Diego. Could you talk a little bit about a guy like Machado? I mean, he's been noted as a great third baseman. He played shortstop last year. Talk about just how difficult it is to play shortstop at the big league level.
Well, you know, it's a lot different. You know, shortstop's got to be able to move their feet. You know, they got to be able to read the balls because, you know, it takes a longer time to get to you. So, you know, you got to constantly be into the game. I mean, because everything kind of works through the shortstop when they're running all the defensive sets and everything. Normally the shortstop is the one that starts a lot of that stuff. So, you know, when you play shortstop at the major league level, you know, it's a guy that's really an intelligent guy, knows the game, knows situations, and, you know, he can actually play. I mean, your shortstop should be able to play anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
You know, because he should have speed, he should have the arm, he should have the glove. He should be able to play anywhere out there on that field. And Machado, I see that. I mean, they got some talent. I mean, I like watching Machado play. I mean, I think the guy is one of the better talents in the National Baseball League.
Gary, let me ask you a little bit about a guy like Machado who has the star power he does. What can that do for a young locker room like that the Padres have?
Well, you know, when you bring in top-notch stars like a Machado and Hauser, you know, those guys, Machado, he's going to bring leadership in there. You know, and I hear people talk about the way he played, but I think the kid can play. He plays hard. He plays the game the way we like to see him play.
Huh.
And a lot of people nowadays call him a dirty player, but all he does is play hard. I mean, he did a slide one day, and they said, oh, that was a bad slide. That was a great slide. I mean, he slid straight across the bag. I mean, they said he kicked the guy in the leg during the World Series. The guy's leg was over the bag. I mean, if anybody that knows baseball, his leg was over the bag. Where's he got to run? I mean, he can't miss him. But he plays the game hard, and he'll bring leadership to that clubhouse. He'll bring in something that, you know, they haven't had in a while. You know, they had Hauser and they got Myers, but now all of a sudden they got three top-notch guys that, you know, I think it helps out with the Padres have a lot of great Latino ball players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to help them out a lot, too, because now he can communicate with them and tell them about winning and tell them about hitting in situations and what you need to do about running bases and stuff. So, you know, I think he can send a clear message because, you know, he's been there, he's done it, and he's even still a young guy.
Gary Templeton, our guest on 97.3 The Fan, you kind of addressed the locker room, the clubhouse situation. What can it do to put a big bat, you know, either second, third, or fourth in the lineup? What's that do for the rest of the guys in that Padre lineup? How does it make them better?
Well, it makes them easier to hit because, you know, normally when you put a bat like that at third or fourth, you know that whoever's batting second should get plenty of good pitches to hit. And if he's on base a lot, then that fourth hitter or fifth hitter, depending on where they put him, you know, that guy should get something to hit because they don't want to put, you know, have guys on base. So they should be getting better pitches to hit. You know, that's the rule of thumb is when you put bats in the lineup, then, you know, pitchers have to go after hitters a little bit more. They can't fool around with them or else they're going to have guys on base. And, you know, pitchers don't like guys on base because they get a little nervous out there and they make mistakes.
You know, it was kind of interesting. And, of course, you came from St. Louis to San Diego in that Ozzie Smith deal, and you stayed here the remainder of your career. And, you know, when Bruce Bochy was managing here and when Kevin Towers was general manager, Larry Lucchino was running the front office, and John Moore's owned the ball club, they used to sign some guys and they'd get them in here because Boch was so well-liked, Towers was so well-liked, and, you know, it's – I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on when you were playing, would other players around the league ask you about what it was like playing in San Diego? What kind of reputation did San Diego have among the players back in your day?
Well, you know, when I was playing with St. Louis, they had kind of a bad reputation because when you would go into San Diego, I mean, there would be only like 3,000, maybe 5,000 fans. On the weekend, they might get 10 or something like that, maybe 15. So, you know, guys was like, well, they want to play where there's a lot of fans. You know, 90% of baseball players, or I might even say 98%, want to play in front of a big crowd. And when the Padres started to bring in, you know, players like myself, Garvey, and then they brought up all the young guys, Gwynn and Mac Reynolds, and then they brought in Garvey and Nettles, I mean, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, the Padres on the scene, we're playing in front of 25,000 a night. And that made a big difference because my first year, I mean, we was lucky to get 10,000 in the stadium. So guys ask that. And you know it when you come to play. You'd be like, ah, oh, man, ain't nobody here. It was like when you went in to play Pittsburgh. I mean, it would be like 2,000 people in the stands, you know, and but, you know, most athletes want to play in front of a crowd so they can show what they got and let people see it. And I think now San Diego is doing that. They're bringing in the talent and, you know, and people love to play. I mean, where else would you want to play in this beautiful city? You ain't going to have no rainouts. You're going to play every day. You know, it's about 70 every night, 68, 70, perfect playing weather. So you can't beat playing in San Diego.
Hey, Gary, I'll let you get out of here on this. I know you're a pretty good golfer. I know that you've done some stuff in baseball since you retired as a player, managed, coached, and that. Are you doing anything baseball-wise this year?
No, not doing anything. Just sitting around, babysitting, and a little golf.
Well, I'm sure we'll see you at the ballpark, and I know your son's doing a great job for the Arizona Diamondbacks as a scout. Yes. I see him around quite a bit.
Thank you. Yeah. Hopefully you'll see me this year. You know, I've had some problems last year. I didn't get to the stadium.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully this year, you know, I'll get a chance to get out and see, you know, maybe even do a little more work for the Padres.
Oh, that's great. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you at Petco Park. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Gary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
Once again, out to the newsmaker line, Jerry Coleman from 105.7 The Fan, the Big Bad Morning Show, and also is the station's Orioles reporter. And Jerry, thanks for the time. Very much appreciated. And I guess you guys knew he wasn't coming back last year. That's why he got dealt to the L.A. Dodgers. What can you tell us about Mr. Machado?
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. I think it was a checkered career for Manny in Baltimore in his 6.5 years here. Probably should have been dealt before he even was, probably the year before when the Orioles were very much out of contention and back-to-back last place finishes the last couple of years. Listen, this guy finished in the top five in the MVP race twice during his career, but I say checkered because there were times that we saw, just like with the Dodgers in the World Series, he did not hustle, he lacked focus, he was aloof at times with his teammates, so there were issues with him here in Baltimore where he didn't face a lot of media scrutiny, and he won't probably in San Diego, and there's a lot of similarities between the two teams that are trying to rebuild, although I'd say the Padres are ahead of the Orioles.
Jerry, Tony Gwynn Jr., I have to ask, where do you think that checkered past or that checkered career in Baltimore, what does it stem from?
Well, I just think it stems, Tony, from him being, you know, a top-round draft pick coming out of Miami and high school ranks and having a lot handed to him and just taking things so easily in terms of it just came so easily for him in terms of hitting and fielding, and it looked so effortless at times that, you know, there were times where he didn't hustle. I mean, we saw that in the World Series for the country to see, but we saw a lot of it here in Baltimore where he did not run out ground balls that could have been base hits, where he did not hustle at times to take that extra base on the base pass. He played excellent defense, but then somehow managed to make his way over to shortstop this past season before being dealt, where he's truly a much better. He's a platinum glove third baseman. He may be a gold glover sometimes at shortstop.
Jerry Coleman, our guest on 97.3 The Fan. I know last year it was a difficult year there in Baltimore, to say the least, but how did Buck Showalter deal with Machado?
Well, I thought he coddled him a little bit too much, to be honest, and Buck did that with a lot of his players. He tries to protect them. That's his nature. He always defended Manny, but we know there were conversations behind the scenes because off the record, Buck would, you know, put it out there that this is the way it went to some of the reporters, that, you know, I'm not going to call the guy out in front of you and throw him under the bus, but we did have a conversation of why he didn't run hard to first base and how he should handle things. Listen, Manny is a terrific player, like I said. He's not a leader, hasn't been a leader throughout his career. Maybe that will change in San Diego. That's just not his makeup, though. He was more of a guy that led by what he did at the plate and in the field, not a big talker.
Jerry, obviously, you guys had Adam Jones there, who was, I think, the bona fide leader for that Baltimore Orioles team. Do you think Manny is capable, along with a guy like Eric Hosmer, to be able to lead a younger squad? I know losing can wear on people differently, but clearly there has been some issues there in Baltimore. Do you think he's capable of leading alongside another leader like Eric Hosmer?
Well, I'll be curious to see that, Tony, and that's an excellent point, bringing up Adam Jones, who, you know, a lot of Oriole fans really do miss, and we know he's a San Diego native,
yeah.
And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best if he doesn't return here. And maybe because of his heavy presence and being in the locker room for such a long time, that overshadowed Manny in a lot of ways, and they were close friends, but maybe Manny getting a fresh start has a chance to be a leader along with a guy like Hosmer, who's been around for a while, and, you know, set the tone inside the clubhouse, because maybe that's something they're looking for with younger players like Tatis Jr. Coming into the ranks. But maybe he has that in his makeup going forward. So far, we haven't seen a lot of evidence of it.
Jerry, I asked this question because I'm down there all the time and I have to deal with these ball players. It's a twofold question. Number one, how did Manny deal with the media in Baltimore, and how did he deal with the fans?
Well, it was. For the fans, they loved him here, I mean, because of what he did. I mean, he had a lot of fans, but he also, you know, there were boos at Camden Yards at times when he did not run out balls or give less than 100%. As far as dealing with the media, it's checkered. I mean, it really, just like with his play and his personality, depends how his mood is, depends on how he's going. For the most part, he was very cooperative, though. I would not say that he would alienate anyone, but again, didn't face a lot of scrutiny in Baltimore, faced a lot more in Los Angeles, seemed to deal with it to a degree, and that's why it's kind of shocking, because he said he was mostly an East Coast guy, but I just think the money was too much to turn down, and that's why he decided to go out there. And I personally do not think he will opt out after 5 years, because I find it hard to believe he's going to find that kind of money again in 5 years.
Well, I got to believe Baltimore, I know they're going through a complete rebuild, new general manager and a new direction, but boy, he'd have been a nice cornerstone guy to have a part of that franchise at only 26 years of age.
No doubt about it. Unfortunately, they're paying the wrong guy in Chris Davis, who got paid at the right time before Manny came due. Of course, if we could revisit everything, I think Adam Jones and Manny Machado may be the cornerstones of this team, and Jonathan Scope as well, and they would have paid him instead, or those three, instead of Chris Davis, who's, you know, still got 4 years remaining on a $161 million deal.
Hey, Jerry, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this baseball season, my friend.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy Manny.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But right now, we want to head out once again to our newsmaker line from The Athletic, who wrote a rather interesting article on Manny Machado, why the Padres were a perfect fit for Manny Machado. Eno Saris, nice enough to join us on Gwen and Chris. Eno, thanks for the time today. I know you've been awful busy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, for people that maybe haven't read that article, tell us a little bit about why you think Manny Machado is the perfect fit for the San Diego Padre organization.
Well, I guess basically they've got all of these this minor league talent that's about to come to fruition, and a lot of it is in the pitching department and in the outfield. And they have some infielders, but they have four outfielders infielders. So buying a young 26-year-old outfielder where the only cost is money, they don't have to spend any prospects to get him. He's a top 10 projected player next year. Makes a lot of sense.
You know, one of the parts of the article that I found to be really interesting is you kind of highlighted that the Padres have some dead money that's out there, but you framed it in a good way. Could you explain that to the Padre fans out here?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it's not. They are paying a collection of players more than they're paying Eric Hosmer to play for the Padres. They're paying a bunch of guys like Phil Hughes and Kazuhito Makita and a bunch of guys more money to not play for the Padres. And so that's kind of, they're like, well, that's no good. The problem is that, you know, some of that was used to do good. Like, they went and got Phil Hughes. You know, Phil Hughes never played for them. The whole reason they got him was they got a draft pick for him.
Right.
They basically paid $7 million for a draft pick. And that's what they've been doing over the last 2 years is, you know, it looks like it's dead money, but they've just been kind of trying to clear up the payroll. And so what happens is that was $30 million last year. This year it's $20 million. Next year, they have the only dead money they have on the payroll is one last year of Hector Olivera, and that's $8 million, and then it's all off. And so what happens is that payroll drops and drops and drops, and even with Manny next year, it's under $100 million. And they probably have a little bit left to spend beyond that. So I think that it really makes a lot of sense for them to start spending now.
Eno Saris joining us from The Athletic on 97.3, The Fan, the Gwen and Chris Show. Eno, what can you tell us that you know about Manny Machado? What kind of scouting report do you have on him?
You know, one of the things that ages really well is when you have a good strikeout rate. You know, he makes a lot of good contact, and he makes powerful contact. So those two things are great. You know, I don't think he's going to finish the season next year at shortstop, but to start at shortstop means that he can play third later and wherever after that. So, those are all good things for his aging. I've interactions with him, I found that he works hard. He thinks about his craft, and people respect him for the hard work he's done. I know that some of it doesn't come out on the field, and that there's been these high-profile moments that didn't go his way, and that maybe he doesn't express himself amazingly at times. I know he's talked about the Johnny Hustle thing. But the problem is, you know, I think some of that, I don't know if you've ever heard the term. Have you heard the term eyewash?
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't think he's good at eyewash. Eyewash is when you do all the things to look right and you look like you hustle and you do all the drills and none of it really has anything to do with anything. He's not good at that part, but he is good at baseball.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You bring up a good point, because when he's referencing Johnny Hustle, that's virtually what he's talking about, is eyewash. He doesn't feel the need to go above and beyond every single play. And the way it goes, when you're putting up the numbers that he is putting up year in, year out, you get a little bit of a grace period, so to speak. I want to ask you a little bit about Manny Machado moving from, whether it's short or third base, obviously with Tatis Jr. coming up. Some people view him as a long-term shortstop. Some people don't. Talk a little bit about, because you mentioned this in your article, about shortstops getting bigger and slower over time. You think that's going to help Manny Machado possibly stay at short, or you think he's destined to play third base?
I think actually that's going to help Tatis play a good short.
Yeah,
I mean, people,
okay.
The reason people say he's not going to be great is because he's too big. I think that is yesterday's concern.
Yeah.
Today's shortstops are huge. You look at Carlos Correa, you look at a bunch of guys.
Seager.
I think Manny's Manny's one of the slowest shortstop. It's him and Brandon Crawford are the slowest shortstops. He did better last year with better positioning with the Dodgers, but I think, you know, I've heard from scouts that they put either, you would say, a 60 or a 70 on Tatis's defense. That means he's either above average or close to elite. So that, I think he'll slide into shortstop when he's ready. And that'll make everything hum. I think, you know, Urias should be playing second. And I think there's a possibility that not too far future that this is one of the best infield in baseball. I mean,
no doubt. That's
how good these players are.
You know, what do you think the likelihood of the Padres still making a run at Bryce Harper?
I don't think it's likely. I think for them, the money would be better spent. I don't know if it's Dallas Keuchel or if it's a pitcher next year, but I think they should save, if they have another bullet in there, they should save it for a pitcher, because, you know, some of these young guys are going to come up and be good, but not all of them
right.
are going to be good. And so if you can go out and then add, you know, I know that John Lester didn't have a great year last year, but like the Cubs did with John Lester, or like the Astros did with Justin Verlander, if you can go and add that pitcher on top of what you already have, I think that's when you're going to go for it.
Yeah, no, indeed. That would require, I believe, though, for the young guys who were on this roster last year to make that next step forward. Both of those moves put those teams over the top. Terrific article you wrote, Eno. Manny Machado, he's gotten a little bit of flack from you know, national media, especially once he came to Dodger, to Los Angeles to play. Do you think that's something that will follow him, or being here in San Diego is a good fit because the media market isn't as tough?
That's an interesting idea. I mean, I think he can handle the big market. You know, I don't think that was necessarily about it being Los Angeles. But at the same time, you know, I've been in those clubhouses. I've been in the Yankees clubhouse when there's 8 million supporters in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and anything you say, you know, gets picked up by four different outlets and, you know, torn apart all the time. I think, you know, San Diego might be a good fit for him that way.
You know, Sarah's from The Athletic, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I'll let you get out of here on this one. Bryce Harper, you think now he probably ends up in Philadelphia?
I do. That's where I'd have him. I thought he might go back to Washington, but with Phillies losing out on Manny and having said that they want to spend stupid money, and I think the Phillies feel like they're in the same position as the Padres, actually, where they feel like they have young talent and they want to add a star to make the rest of the young talent better. So I think that they're ready to go for it, and they've said that in the media and stuff. So I think that's where I'd say he's best odds to go there.
Hey, you know, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. I know it's a busy time of year for you, but thanks again.
I think the future in San Diego is really exciting. I can't wait to see all these young arms come up. I'm kind of a pitching dork, so like when these guys come up, Paddock is going to be, I think, really good. Patino, you know, there's some really nice arms coming up, and that's when it's going to, you know, when we're going to decide what happens with the Padres going forward.
Have a great night.
Thanks again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Done.
Thanks.
So, but right now, we're going to go down to Florida. He normally starts in Florida this time of year and then works his way back to the Cactus League. He's in the grapefruit circuit right now. We're joined by Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. Scotty, welcome to the show, and hope traveling to Florida was nice and smooth.
I appreciate it. How you doing? Nice to be with you guys. I spent the day with the Houston Astros today. Did I miss anything back home?
You did if you were under a rock.
Yeah, I think Tony, it was tough to miss this one regardless. Like Coach said in the beginning, or somebody said, you know, I mean, there's not just buzz in San Diego, but throughout the baseball industry. And, I've been the past 5 or 6 days, I guess. I've been with the Yankees and the Phillies and the Blue Jays and the Twins and the Astros. And, people are talking, players, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, where are people going to go? And I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would have attached the phrase, the richest free agent contract in professional sports history, with the San Diego Padres.
Scotty, 2 years in a row, the Padres signed the number one free agent on the board. I guess there could be some argument whether Bryce Harper's the number one guy or not in this particular year. But does this kind of change the outlook of free agents and how they look at San Diego? Consider the last 2 years, they've been willing to spend more money than they've ever spent before.
Yeah, Tony. I mean, players. Two things are important to players, as you well know: money. Am I going to get paid? And what I don't think the general public understands so much, you know, they're quick to say players are greedy, but I'll tell you what. Players get to the major leagues because not only are they really talented, but the ones that get to the majors are super competitive.
Yeah.
And you don't just turn that off. And so, yeah, there's competition not just on the field among players, but among, you know, contracts and salaries. And so the Padres pulling something, as you just said, with Hosmer and Machado, that's going to catch players' attention. And I said players want two things: money and a chance to win. And if the Padres, with the young talent, can mesh that with Hosmer, with Machado, both of whom should still be in their prime in the next few years, then it could be a really good thing in San Diego for the foreseeable future.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report joining us tonight on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. Scotty, I know you covered the playoffs. I know you covered the World Series. You've been covering baseball for a long period of time. What can you tell us from your angle regarding Manny Machado?
Well, he's super competitive, and obviously we know the talent. We see the talent. And I'll give you a couple of stories. One, 2 years ago, the year after the All-Star Game was in San Diego, when it was going to be in Miami, Machado didn't make the All-Star Game that year. But nevertheless, the All-Star Game was in Miami. Machado and several others, there's a little group from Miami down there, Yonder Alonso, John Jay, Gio Gonzalez. So I did a long feature on Machado, talked to a bunch of those guys, and I went back to Baltimore for it. And I found it interesting. I checked in with Machado. I was in Baltimore for about 3 days. And first day in, I went up, said hello, and told him, hey, I'm here to, you know, I'd like to get some time with you, sit down with you, do a, I'm working on a big major feature. And he said, I said, how you doing? I said, I'm here all weekend, whenever you have time. He gave me I'm busy today, but, you know, check with me tomorrow. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. You know, and that was kind of maybe will, maybe won't.
Right.
So this is like the first day of the series. It's like a Friday. And so that was about 3:30. About 4:15, the Orioles are doing some early work on the field. They're early groups hitting. And I'm standing behind the batting cage.
And Buck Showalter sees me, and he comes over, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing slumming it here in Baltimore?" I laughed, and I said, "Yeah," I told him what I just told you. I said, "You know, All-Star Games in Miami, we think good chance Manny will be there, and I'm here to do a big feature on him." He said, "Have you talked to him yet?" And I told Buck, same thing I just told you. "Yeah, I checked it with him, and, you know, we're going to maybe hopefully talk tomorrow." You know, he said maybe he'd have some time tomorrow. And then Buck said, "Okay." And he said, "Hang on just a minute." And Manny was just stepping out of the cage. And Buck said, "Hey, Manny, come here." He called him over literally right then. Manny comes over, and Buck says, "Hey, you know Scott?" He said, "Yeah, he's here to do a feature. You're going to talk to him, right?" And then Manny, right then, all of a sudden, maybe tomorrow became, "Yeah, come in early tomorrow, like 3:30 tomorrow, we'll sit down."
Uh-huh.
And I mention that story because Manny, over the past few years, he came into the league so young, and he's still so young. He's had some maturing to do, and I think Buck Showalter, and that's why I just told you that story, I think Buck handled him really well in Baltimore. He helped him mature, and he became like almost a father figure to him. Now, the playoffs last year that you mentioned, obviously, you know, Manny became public villain number one. He didn't run out a couple of balls, and, you know, he kicked Jesus Aguilar. And things kind of spun out of control on him. Obviously, there was the quote, unfortunate quote, to Ken Rosenthal, I'm not Johnny Hustle. I think a couple things. One, Manny has matured quite a bit over the years, but he's still not done maturing. I think we saw that in October. I think that's why somebody like a Buck Showalter was so important in his development. And I think it'll be important in San Diego. You know, Eric Hosmer, Ian Kinsler, a couple of the veterans. You know, they're going to have to help continue to bring him along and help shield him. So I think that's one thing. Secondly, last thing. Not to drag on with my answer too long, but the other thing, I was talking to a number of general managers this winter about what you just asked, about October and the problems Manny had in October. And one general manager made a great point. He said, "I know when he periodically he doesn't bust it to first base. You know, he ground ball to shortstop or whatever. He may jog. It looks bad." But this general manager said, "Look at his lines on baseballreference.com every year, year after year after year. He posts 155 games,
indeed,
157 games. Last year he played 162. So the point was, you know, would you rather have a stud that plays every day and maybe takes a play or two off? Or would you rather have one of the guys that, you know, almost like a false hustle guy, a guy that busts it every play, but then every 6 weeks he comes up with a, you know, pulled hamstring or a hangnail or something he wants out of the lineup?"
It's so interesting you brought that up, because I got his baseball reference up right now. Since he had that knee injury, 162, 157, 156, 162 in the last 4 years. So that tells you that's a durable player you have there. And I wonder, had he not used the word Johnny Hustle and used eyewash, would people have kind of perceived that quote a little bit different?
Great question. Yeah, because they very well might have. And, you know, I mean, it's going to take him a while to live that quote down.
Yeah.
There's no question. What's going to happen is he's going to, you know, theoretically this contract gets announced. He's going to come to San Diego. There are going to be games, whenever it is, in May or June, where he's going to be in the middle of playing every day. And it's going to be a routine ground ball to second base, and he'll jog to first. And maybe the second baseman throws it away, and he's still out. And everybody's going to go crazy. But I think you have to remember what you just said, Tony. Look at the game's played line, and that's one area where I think you can really, really appreciate this guy.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report, our guest on Gwen and Chris. Scotty, with Manny Machado coming to the San Diego Padres, what should Padre fans expect in 2019 out of this ball club? Can they contend in the division?
You know, I don't want to rain on people's parade. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very, you know, it's going to be, for all of us in town, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think there are going to be moments where you look and you say, okay, I can see this starting to come together. Now, where I said I want to rain on everybody's parade, that rotation, man, is so young. Andy Green and Darren Balsley are going to have to work overtime, I think, patching things together.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't get to a situation like Tampa Bay where we get openers and we get, you know, bullpen days every third day. I'd like to see some starters develop and be developed. But, you know, I think it'd be very interesting if old A.J. Preller could put a cherry on top of this Sunday by somehow acquiring a starting pitcher or two during the spring, whether it's via trade or you know, waiver wire, something like that. If he could pull some magic out of his hat in the rotation, that's when I would say, they could be an outside chance to contend.
One of those Miami boys is in that group is still available via free agency in Gio Gonzalez. So it'll be interesting to see if A.J. Preller can pull that one out of his head. I want to switch topics for a second, Scott. Much more somber topic. Don Newcomb, Dodger legend, passed away today. Just to give us your thoughts on Don Newcomb. I know when I signed there in L.A., he was one of the first people I met, really helped me make that transition. Such a wonderful, wonderful gentleman.
Yeah, Tony, and I'm sure you knew him better than I, but I've talked to him a handful of times. I loved batting practice at Dodger Stadium before games, both regular season and home games.
That's when you can catch him.
Yeah, it'd be like 4:30 in the afternoon, and he'd be there with his wife, who, you know, was younger than him, and I say that because she was in better health. He you know, he was what, 92?
92.
Right.
He's been frail, good health, but frail. His wife, boy, she was there at his side. She was nonsense. I got a kick out of her. She would help him, you know, move around. But also, when people came up, boy, she would screen people.
Yeah, she was the bodyguard too. Yeah,
Karen was her name, right?
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I loved those afternoons at Dodger Stadium when, you know, he was there and he would, you know, I mean, I was privileged, and I wouldn't use that word with many people, but privileged to have a handful of conversations with him over the years. He's just an elegant, classy guy. I saw somebody on Twitter said something about they used the word regal, and I thought that was a good word. I mean, he dressed, he had style, he looked classy. He was so gentle and graceful, and so upbeat and positive. It just one of those guys that has been. He had tough times. I mean, he came up. There was racism, and he played way back with Jackie Robinson, and he played when blacks couldn't stay with the Dodgers at the same hotel, and he went through all that crap that people had, you know, that African Americans had to go back way back when, and you know, I think he had some alcohol issues, and he came out of it all, and just became such a great ambassador for the Dodgers and for baseball, and one of those guys, like, whenever you talked to him, you walked away feeling better than you did before.
I got to tell you a quick story about Don Newcomb. About 5 years ago, that's why I knew his wife Karen, because I sat with her at a ball game one night, and I used to MC the Negro League luncheons for Dave Winfield when he was working for the Padres. And so we get done with the luncheon one day, and Don Newcomb's there, and I go up there, and I'm always wanting to pick guys' brain on, you know, what did you throw, what were you pre? He goes, well, I threw a fastball, a curveball, a changeup, and for 2 years I threw a spitball. I thought that was great. Hey, turn into another topic, and we'll let you get out of here. Your thoughts, not that we didn't assume this was going to probably happen at the end of the year because he was in the final year of his contract, but your thoughts on Bruce Bochy retiring, and even though he's got a losing record, I'm pretty sure right now he's going into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think even though the record is a losing record overall, I think I saw somewhere like his what was it? He's got the number of victories he's got has got him, you know, among the top managers, top 5 or 10 or something like that. You know, legend. I mean, no question. I think 3 World Series rings in San Francisco in this decade is going to push him into Cooperstown. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. I don't have any doubt about that. But you know, the other thing, he may have a losing record, but, you know, in a weird way, I think that the what he's done in San Francisco even makes his time in San Diego look better because, as we all know, he didn't have a lot to work with in many, not every, but many of those years in San Diego. And he still usually got the most out of his teams. And I just think, you know, so such a baseball guy. I also hate to see him go, not just because I know all three of us have a personal affinity for him, but, you know, the game's changing. And you know, managers now are in their late 30s or 40s, and they're middlemen. You know, I mean, the managers have had most of their power removed. And, you know, the front offices want somebody that they can, that'll, you know, follow some directions. And Boch is a throwback to the Earl Weavers and the Dick Williams and the you know, Sparky Andersons, and that aside from missing him personally when he goes, it also, he's one of the last of the Lions who managed to go, and I hate to see that era end.
Very well put on that, Scotty. Real quick, Bryce Harper, do we have any announcement coming on Bryce Harper in the next 48 hours?
You know, not that I've heard yet tonight. I still think Philadelphia is the obvious landing spot. I doubt, I mean, with Machado just getting done or almost done, I doubt if it'll be that quick, but I think at the earliest, maybe later this week or this weekend, possibly next week. But I think with Manny off the board now, we will see Bryce go relatively soon. But I don't know if it'll be, you know, in the next 24 or 48 hours.
Hey, Scotty, thanks for the time. Safe travels in the grapefruit circuit.
We'll see you guys in Arizona or San Diego soon.
Look forward
to
it. All
right, Scotty. Thank you, brother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.